moved it up to 4.6. Now we're getting closer. Still nowhere near enough, but it's better. Yeah. They can't go more than that because there's all kinds of other limitations going on now. So we have to, okay, 4.6 is our maximum, so we got to figure out, since there is no God and we're here, there is a natural explanation. It's called methodological naturalism. Only natural explanations are allowed.
Which they throw out, say, in carbon dating, because if you look when you were talking about those lava tubes and stuff like that, that's a steady state of change. And they're assuming with carbon dating that everything is a steady state of change.
Right.
And they don't even take into the fact, like Mount St. Helens when it blew.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff, they came back and they did testing on it, and according to carbon dating, it was thousands and thousands and millions of years old, and it just happened.
When we measure something of a known age, we get the wrong date. But when we measure something of an unknown age, the date we get is the right one.
Well, sometimes. Right. Yeah. You pick the one that is the right one. You throw out the ones that aren't.
So, question. So, we know, basically, you know, your scientists and people up there, their whole, most of their purpose is to have a reason to not believe in God. And they pretty much have all thrown out Darwinism. They know that's not right.
Right.
But
I'll get to that.
The
that
people, but that's still in society, as you said, and you end up with defeaters who you approach them, and this is what they say. As you share, or as you look for the ways to say the words, approach what they're saying, do they really believe that? Because they're only hearing what they're told, basically, in school, and raised up with. So are there avenues, then, to break that down? Because they're just like a lot of religious people. They really don't know that they believe. They are being taught that. Mm-hmm. Are there ways to break it down?
Yes and no.
If that you're deep, going to be open,
this is part of where you find out where they are. They
right.
And Tom commented, you get them in a pub and have a few beers, they'll start talking about their doubts. But they cannot express those doubts in the institution that they belong to, because they'll kill their career. Being labeled a creationist is the worst possible. To question Darwin? Are you insane? They won't do it. And this is where the Holy Spirit has to really get them to the place where become a Christian in a Muslim country. They know the Christ.
Everyday person that is believing.
Okay. And they say, oh, these great scientists. I mean, Stephen Hawking himself said the universe can create itself from nothing. Who am I to question such a brilliant man? And there has to come to this place to where a person wants the truth more than they want anything else.
That's part of the problem. As you peel back the layers, and it takes time.
Right.
It takes a lot of time. That means relationship and continual relationship. Right. As you peel back the layers, if they can be intellectually honest enough to understand that they're really an onion. And that, you know, if you keep peeling the, there's nothing there. But that's where the Holy Spirit has to come in.
Right.
Right.
Some people will tenaciously claim that, no, there is something there, even though there's nothing there. And so I think as you're in relationship, peeling back the layers gently and with, you know, gentleness and respect, is the verse you quoted, that as the Holy Spirit's working, they will be intellectually honest enough to say, wow, there's nothing I've built this on. It's just a house of cards. And then you can give them the true foundation. But that takes time and persistence.
And some preparation on your part. Because what about those millions of years?
Yeah.
And they have good answers.
Yes, and we have honest answers. Okay. But when I get down here to December 29th, about transcendental apologetics, is the nuclear option. You get down underneath it, just blow the whole thing up from the beginning. seen people use this in debates. They've got this 2 hour planned debate, the Christians against the atheists. And the guy blows them up in the first 5 minutes and they don't know what to do. They just spend the next 2 hours, well, here's your another inconsistency, here's another one. They destroyed them at the beginning and now they kind of have to suffer through. They feel sorry for them because they lost in the first 5 minutes and they'll never recover from it. And and I'm going to play some clips through time. Of one guy who calls in a radio talk show and he doesn't know what to do, so he has to end the conversation. And it is this particular that is so powerful. And you don't have to know a lot. Like somebody starts talking about global warming or climate change, well, you know, 1,000 years ago, the Earth was already so warm that there were no polar ice caps, and we still had penguins and polar bears. So what did they do back then? And what were the humans doing that caused it? And 500 years ago, it was so cold, the Thames River in London was frozen. They had ice skating parties and all kinds of stuff there. So what were the humans do that caused an ice age? We call it the mini ice age. And during these two extremes, there is a 500-year cycle. Has nothing to do with what people are doing.
This really gets to, and this is sort of what the class will probably unfold over the next number of weeks. I mean, yes. The problem is for example, you look at an abused woman, and she'll maintain that, you know, if she would have just done this thing better, she wouldn't have got beaten up by her husband. Mm-hmm. Right? And you cannot get her to see reality. I mean, you can try to explain to her in every rational way that is not true. I burnt the meal or whatever. And so you get people to this point and they, whether it's an unwillingness or they just simply cannot. But I think if you have a compassionate viewpoint toward them that, look, I'm not going to seal the deal today, but I'm going to have a relationship with you and I'm going to love you where you're at and continue to just speak into their life. You know, like with that abused woman, over time, as God works on her heart and mind, she can come to a place of understanding, I don't deserve to be hit, ever.
And because we're not dealing with rationality. So a rational argument isn't going to work there because she's not rational to start with. And so there we have a toolbox. When somebody's trying to be all intellectual, then you bring in the intellectual arguments. When somebody just needs love, they're so beat down. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it the way they walk. They just need loved and cared about and watered little by little. Because they're different approaches. And that's part of what I'm hoping to get through here, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we have a toolbox and the help of the Holy Spirit says this person doesn't need an argument. I mean, an argument in there's two kinds of arguments. There's presenting your case, the 1 Peter 3:15, give a reason for the hope. That's an argument. But then there's the arguing. We want to avoid. They say you generate a lot of heat and very little. We don't want to do that. But the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize.
But that stuff does not address the hurt.
Yes.
So when they're hurting, there's more of an openness.
And sometimes for the people that have the intellectual veneer, they're dying inside. Mm-hmm. But we have to get through that to show them why that our God is the one who can answer that thing that's down inside, that arrow in your heart that's killing you.
Right.
And you're the demonstration of how he's faithful, how he cares, how he has real answers to real problems, that he can get you out of this. But if it's going to cost them their career, we got ego involved, we're such complicated creatures on some levels and really simple on others.
Well, and so often somebody can just put that veneer, like you said, over to really hide their brokenness and their hurt, because no one wants to put that out, you know, on their sleeves. But again, that's where if God said, you know, look, here's someone I've put in your life. I mean, you have relationship with them through the ups and the downs, and all of them are just being nasty toward you. You continue to love them, and then you can crack through the shell and get to the heart of the matter.
Do you ever give up?
Not if God keeps. I mean, if God says, you know, look, you've done what you can with this guy, but if God says no and keeps bringing him in your life, then I would say you don't give up.
Yeah,
it can wear you out. You can't give up.
As some people just keep coming back. They don't know what it is about you. You're kind of weird, but I keep wanting to come back. They keep coming back. I've noticed that. And when they don't, when they stop wanting to come around, and that verse, 1 Peter 3:15, is to give answers when they ask. We want to answer questions they're not asking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is finding out where the person is at and helping them through that, whatever. And that's their stuck points. The ones that the Holy Spirit is drawing, they come up against an edge. Sometimes it's intellectual, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes, you know, I was taught this back in school, and I knew this kid that was abused by the youth pastor or whatever their obstacles are, and we have to show them, like in Peter, where it said that the woman wins the husband without words. Sometimes we just got to do it that way.
I think that means you take him to your pastor.
Well, and the thing I've come across is from both ways is there is a time that you have to give a reason for the hope, but there are many people, especially with, in the religious community at all levels, that feel, no, we don't have to learn that, we don't have to know that, we just tell them Jesus. Well, when you have people that have questions and have been pounded in the head since first grade or kindergarten, you have to be able to have answers.
Those are legitimate questions.
You have to have
answers. The days of four spiritual laws evangelism is over.
Mm-hmm.
When we're going back to what originally was, we have to spend time with people.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes left.
Thank you. So we get, unless there's some very advanced preparation of the Holy Spirit going on, we could do that, but by and large, it's going to be spending time. Let them seeing Jesus in us, hearing our answers. They sound weird, but they're solid because they're based in truth and reality. We're talking about reality of things. Everybody knows that. It's all down inside them. And what God said, He's already revealed Himself to every man. And I think Acts 2:17, where it said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's what happened right there. God poured out His spirit on the world because of the new covenant in a way that has never happened before. So the Holy Spirit's out there working worldwide, and He's waiting for us to come and intersect those people that He's working on, so that we can, it's like epoxy, you have to mix the two pieces together before it works. So, Father, we thank You for our time together.
Mm-hmm.
And Holy Spirit, I just ask that You settle on everyone as we continue on and doing this class, that lights will go on, real enlightenment from You. And that we will be good and faithful witnesses,
mm-hmm,
wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whatever our spheres of influence and paths that You take us, so that the people in CG and those that are looking for the light will find it.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Didn't get the big picture going yet. I'll do that next week. The way to hang it, all of this stuff on, it's real simple.
Yeah.
Because the, Paul said, I'm amazed that you're removed from the simplicity in Christ. Because there is a simplicity. And yet we can spend forever learning at the same time.
Yeah.
Kingdom things are like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.